CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
But I want to get the language right.
The big government is in trouble.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
My name is S.M. Gibson. This is Anti-Media Radio. It is February the 2nd, 2017. I don't even know where to begin tonight. There is chaos ensuing, as usual, all across the country, 14 days into the post-Trumpocalypse era of satire that we are still living in with a long ways to go. Unfortunately, for most of Americans right now, they are buying into what the mainstream media is selling because people, of course, are very fearful of Donald Trump. So anything that is an alternative to him, they're automatically attaching themselves to. And sadly, that's not the way the world really is. The establishment and the mainstream media sees an opportunity to get people back on their side because of Trump's complete inconsistency in everything he says and his erratic behavior. I mean, he's a big mouth, he's a blowhard, so it's easy to do. People aren't wanting to look at the facts of anything, which is nothing new in this country, and they want to just automatically attach themselves to just whatever's anti-Trump because that's cool. And I get it. I do definitely get the sentiment and the opposition. But you have to know what exactly you're opposing, and at the same time, you have to know what you believe in to even oppose somebody. I don't see that people really know what they believe in this country. If they truly believe these things they're fighting for, I think that they would have spoken up and raised their voice up during the Obama administration. They did not. You can't tell that to most people in this country, unfortunately, but sadly, human rights and doing what's right always matters. It doesn't matter if there's a cool Democrat in office or just a horrible, rigid Republican in office. Look, we're all human beings, and a person doesn't just automatically change and become something else because of their political affiliation or because of where they went to school or what neighborhood they were raised or their skin color or their religion or their sexual orientation, or any of that. We're all human beings. And, of course, people buying into the division once again. It's another thing to divide people over. And we thought we saw in this country just horrible dividing lines under the Obama administration between the people not only of the United States but of the world. But I think it's going to be even crazier under Trump, as we've already seen. we're seeing protests and riots and knock yourselves out, I guess, but know what you're standing up for. Don't just willy-nilly run out in the streets running around and go, I hate Donald Trump. Okay, and now what? Now what? What are you going to accomplish with that? What do you want? What are you asking for? What do you believe in? And that's what the media fails us on so much, is they're not there to educate the people. They're not there to give you real informed facts. They're there to keep the division going. Divide, 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 and conquer. I'm going to go ahead and bring on our co-host for the evening, Mr. Shannon Madden. Shannon, what is up?
Living the dream, Mr. Gibson. Trying to keep up with all of the seemingly endless news that's coming from the White House these days. Donald Trump can, smack a bubble of bubble gum, and the Twitter's afire with it. He has definitely been very active as of late. We're going to talk about a lot of his brand spanking new policies. Can you believe he's been in office, 2 weeks now?
Yeah, almost.
It feels like it went on for 6 months or 8 months, or it seems like it's been. I mean, there's just so much coming out of the White House, and I don't know, for the casual listener, none of it sounds good to me.
No, and I tell you, whether you like him or whether you hate him, he's definitely been busy, and he's definitely done a lot in 2 weeks. I'll give him that.
He has definitely done a lot, and again, I brought this up last show. He's done a lot of things that he said he was going to do, stuff that we kind of chuckled about. I was like, that'll never happen. Well, guess what?
They're saying now that it's a possibility that they complete the wall within 2 years.
Wow.
That's and the thing about it that's so mind-blowing is think about how Washington works, and they can't get anything passed or done, or it takes, just to pass a simple bill, it takes them forever. And they're talking about completing the construction of a wall that borders the entire U.S.-Mexican border. That's crazy that they may possibly do that, just because of bureaucracy in and of itself.
That's the only way that they're going to build a wall that size in 2 years is with Hispanic labor. I'm sorry. That's just,
Well, we'll see.
Not the guys that I work with on the job site, that's for sure.
We've definitely...
They'll be lucky if it takes 10 years.
We've definitely talked about the wall ad nauseum, and I think most people that want to get information about the wall... Look, everybody's talking about it, and right now it's something to discuss, but I feel like there's a lot more important things going on that Trump is being used to distract us from. And what I mean by using Trump is they're focusing on all this petty stuff and not focusing on the seriousness of some of the situations that he's getting us in. They're talking about how he got in an angry conversation with the president of Australia. And look, okay, do you think we're going to go to with Australia tomorrow? No, I don't either. And
it's just now that there's a possibility we could be at war with everybody before this 4 years is over.
Well,
we're probably going to be at war with Canada.
Maybe. But, if that's the thing, though, if you listen to what the mainstream media is telling you, then, yeah, sure, that's a possibility. This is what people need to remember. They have to remember this. Just because Donald Trump is in office doesn't automatically make all of these people that have done all this lying to you for all these years, it doesn't automatically make them good and telling you the truth all of a sudden. That's what's so mind-blowing to me, is that people are just abandoning everything they supposedly believed in, and they're just, lemmings falling off the cliff again. And there's people that are doing it for Trump, too. That's what I... stress over and over and over. I don't see, this is not a black and white situation. And people want it to be because it's easier that way, because they don't have to think. They don't have to, you know, look inside themselves for a deep answer and go, well, maybe this thing that Trump does is good and these other three things are bad. And maybe this thing they say is good and maybe these three things they say are lies. People don't want to critically examine anything. Everything has to be a certain way. It has to be rigid. Oh, it's all bad or it's all good. And that's not the world we live in. People have to wake up from the mentality that they're in, that it's everything's all a certain way, because that's just not the way the world works. One thing that they have discussed a little bit in the mainstream media the past couple of days is Trump talking about, well, nothing's off the table when it comes to Iran. That, they're kind of, to me, they're hinting on something that is real news, but they're not going deep enough and they're not giving you the actual facts of the story. I think that it is a huge possibility that Trump could engage in war with Iran. With that being said, I think when Trump says something like nothing's off the table, I think that's Trump being a promoter. I think that's him being a blowhard. I think that's him being a businessman, just not wanting to, you know, that's his poker face. He's not going to show his cards. And I just think that's his personality. I don't think what he said, there's a lot of weight or stock to be put into that. I think the facts of what we're seeing, there's a lot to be said for. And the facts are that there is, Iran and the United States are antagonizing each other right now, especially when you look at the travel ban that, of course, people want to call the Muslim ban, that doesn't include Saudi Arabia, doesn't include countries that have the largest Muslim populations in the world, doesn't include Kuwait, United Arab Emirates, doesn't include, you know, any of the Gulf states that are, of course, aligned with the interest of the United States for whatever insane reason, because if we're talking terrorists, the terrorists actually come out of those countries. We're talking 9/11.
Yeah.
But that ban is definitely antagonizing, especially towards Iran. We've just seen Iran go ahead and throw their hands up and say, which is a huge story, that they are going to get away from using the dollar. The last time we saw a country, and first off, people need to remember that they hold 13% of OPEC's oil supply. So we're talking a substantial amount of oil not being sold with US dollars anymore. The last person that really, really tried this and kind of got away with it was Saddam Hussein in 2000 when he went to the euro and got away from the dollar. And in 2003, he got invaded.
Where's he hanging around at now?
Right. Where's he at now? And then, of course, Gaddafi was trying to get away from the dollar in Libya and was going to go towards the dinar. How'd that work out? So I think the biggest signal so far that we've seen for war with Iran is not necessary, because, okay, they fired the rocket and everybody's up in arms about that. But we need to look at, look, at the end of the day, follow the money. And you take the dollar outside of what they're trading in oil, that's going to really antagonize the United States. We've seen it over and over. Plus, everybody's had a chip on their shoulder about Iran forever. And they've, since 1996, Netanyahu has been saying that, oh, they're just weeks away from getting their nuclear weapons. They're just weeks away. He's been saying
it'll happen any day now.
Any day. They've been saying this for, he's been saying that for 21 years. And of course, you hear the same thing echoed in the United States. They're about to get it. It's just right around the corner. They're going to get this thing. We hear that year after year, now decade after decade, and they still don't have it. But they definitely do not want the government that is in charge of Iran. And that's not to say that Iran is some great country, because you look at their record, they are not. With that said, sadly, it's not the United States' place to go around policing the world, which is what they want to do. And second off, they're not doing anything they're doing for human rights records, because you can look at their relationship with Saudi Arabia and see they don't pick their friends and allies based on human rights records.
Or if, that may happen to crash a plane into the building and, it'd be linked back to their government. I mean,
Right. And you look at the people that the Bushes piled around, and look at the people the Clintons piled around with. Human rights and
took allies. Money from, I might add.
Sure. Human rights and who the United States decides to ally itself with, they're not even things that are relatable. So anyways, we've got Iran taking itself off of the dollar. The end result, I think, if we get to the point where we see an actual military confrontation with Iran and the United States, I think most average Americans would go, okay, well, if that happened, as stupid as that sounds, and, there's people out there probably think it is a good idea. I don't know really how you could, but I think most people would go, yeah, sure, militarily we could take them out. But you have to look at who Iran has as their friends. And China has already said, if you touch them, we're coming. If you touch Iran, we're coming. And we've already seen the Chinese military, we talked about it on Tuesday, they're already preparing for what they say is an inevitable war between the United States and China. That's where you don't want to go in any way, shape, or form. It's the dominoes effect. They think it's the domino effect of, well, if you get this country, then this country will fall and blah, blah, blah. But if you go after Iran, there's going to be some heavy, serious consequences. And I think the powers that be do know that, because there's a reason. After all this propaganda, after all these years, and after the United States meddling in all these countries, Iran's still there. And I think the reason being is because of who's backing Iran. Now, of course, we did see what we saw in the 80s, back in Saddam Hussein, to try to get Iran, to topple their government. It didn't work out. And then they just turned their backs on Saddam Hussein. But I think right now the biggest news story is what is going on with Iran. And I don't think it's Donald Trump saying nothing's off the table. That's what they want you to look at. They want you to focus on just Trump, 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 Trump. I'm sorry to break it to people. Donald Trump doesn't create every policy in this country. Neither did Barack Obama. There's a lot of people behind the scenes that influence policy in this country. And there's agendas meant to be played out. We've seen it with the Bush administration. We saw it with the Obama administration, as much as people really just don't like to look in the mirror on that one. And we're going to see it with the Trump administration. All right, I've rambled long enough on that, Shannon. I'm going to get your thoughts on everything I just spewed out.
Well, one thing that I thought that was a little curious was the comments made by Nikki Haley, who is now our new UN representative for the United States. Her first appearance, she basically kind of pointed a finger over at Russia and started talking about the issue of their occupation of Crimea and the Ukraine. And of course, a lot of hard talk. And again, going back to what you were just talking about the mainstream media, it really depends. I saw several different stories about this today in preparation for the show tonight. And it really depends on which site that you are reading from. Reading her statements, you know, they're very clear and concise, you know, basically just kind of telling Russia, hey, you want us to lift the sanctions against you. You know, we're going to continue to hold them in place as long as you continue to occupy the Ukraine. So, you know, on the surface, that's not really that big of a thing. That's, you know, basically the sticking point between the United States and Russia has been for quite some time since the sanctions were first installed. So I don't know if this is going to signal basically kind of, I don't know, the path to Russia and the United States finally working things out, or if this is just going to kind of, you know, hey, by the way, we're not letting you off the hook for that. And, you know, go ahead and open up a you know, the same negative dialogue we've had with Russia, particularly during the last 8 years. So I just thought that was rather curious, in addition to what you were talking about, because again, Russia is, you know, friendly with Iran. China is friendly with Iran. You also have Turkey in the region, which, you know, has, there's been some bumps in the road between Turkey and Russia, but they seem to have smoothed that out. So there definitely is a coalition of different nations and different militaries that, you know, are going to step into this situation if we continue to press it further. We've had a hard-on for Iran for quite some time, and it doesn't make sense in this day and age. It simply doesn't, because, again, you know, Iran, there's no evidence that Iran has nuclear weapons. You know, I like the quote in the article on theantimedia.org right now about this story. The quote from Ahmadinejad talking about the nuclear weapons. Well, what are we going to do? Just sit around and polish it all day? I mean, you know. And right. Really, that's, I mean, you kind of think about it with any country that's nuclear right now. I mean, you know, basically it's just a big old hunk of metal that you have to service and maintain over the years because everybody else has got one pointed at you because you have one. It's ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous.
It is. I mean, that's the thing about what we're looking at. I mean, it's like, it feels like, you know, it's why I say we're in the age of satire right now. I mean, it's like we have children on all sides, and I'm talking about the governments as well as the people, as well as everything. I mean, nobody seems to be making a lot of sense in this, and that includes Trump, that includes everybody that I'm seeing for the most part. You see the media, and then they talk about Nikki Haley, and they're condemning Russia, and they're saying,
but at the same time, it really depends on which website or which news organization you got the story from. Because it could be, you know, just simply a, you know, an offer of, hey, we'd like to work things out, but this is something that we need to put back on the table and work through. Or it could have been a, well, you know, you guys messed up with that whole Ukraine thing, so this is pretty much going to be how the next 4 years is going to go.
Right. Well, see, they go from, this is the thing that it doesn't really align with their rhetoric right now, is because they go from saying, well, Trump's going to lift the sanctions on Russia, look at him, we told you he's in bed with Putin over here, and then you've got Nikki Haley saying basically that you're going to have to give Crimea back over to Ukraine or your sanctions aren't getting lifted. So they're kind of talking out of both sides of their mouth right now, because clearly the media's agenda, the mainstream corporate media's agenda right now, and not just corporate media, but politicians, I mean, you're getting it from all sides, that every single thing out of Donald Trump's mouth is just 100% the devil saying it. Donald Trump is a politician now. Like any other politician, he's going to say a lot of dumb stuff and he's going to do a lot of wrong stuff. But they are attacking everything, everything, everything. And when you do that, you get into a situation like we've seen over the past few years that helped put Trump in office. Is when you call, for instance, when you call everything everybody does for 8 years and you just put this blanket statement and say, oh, that's racist, whatever the term is. It doesn't matter what the term is, but you just want to throw out these, that's this, that's automatically this. And it's just this knee-jerk reaction. At some point, people just start ignoring it because it's like, that's what you say to literally everything. That's your response to everything. And that's what's happening with Trump. That's what happened with Trump in the election, I believe. But it's really going to happen now. And people are just going to tune this out. And the danger of that is when Trump is really doing something that he doesn't need to be doing, whether it's going into Iran or anything, who knows what it could be. It could be a million different things. That people are going to tune that out because it's like, yeah, 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 we've heard this song and dance before. We get it. You think he's Hitler. And that's why I think it's important to attack specific policies and actions of these people. We've seen it a little bit with the travel ban. I still don't think, first off, I don't think the White House has been very clear with the travel ban, as clear as they needed to be. I still don't personally see.
Well, now they were clear, but the problem was,
no, they're not, because they're not.
A lot of that rhetoric and this, that, and the other doesn't necessarily translate in a court of law, but you know. Well, as far as the language that was used when the travel ban was first initiated.
It's not clear because you've got Sean Spicer out there saying this isn't a ban, and then you've got Trump literally calling it a ban. So they're not clear in what they're saying. But you face the problem, too, where, again, it's turning into it's against all Muslims. And why are they saying that? Partially, it's because it's the knee-jerk reaction if that's what people do. And partly, it's because when Donald Trump ran for president, he opened his big mouth and said that he wanted to ban all Muslims from coming to this country. But when you look at it and what it really is, you're seeing just, you know, it looks like something Saudi Arabia wrote up for him. That's how it looks to me.
Or the Obama administration, one of the two.
Right.
Yeah, they always get a pass when it comes to stuff like this, but, you know.
Well, you know, they did. I tell you what, I want to go ahead and bring on a special, wonderful guest. Some people may know him from the Monday night and Wednesday night anti-media radio programs. He is also the editor-in-chief of the anti-media, Mr. Nick Burnaby. Nick.
Woo-hoo!
Thanks for me, wonderful. I really appreciate that. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for the invite. Man, what a crazy post-electoral news cycle, right?
Chaos.
Been wild. Great for us, though, right? I mean, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. I mean, that's the one bright side of it from my perspective.
I'm over it. I want to go to talking about nothing that we're talking about anymore. Unfortunately, we have to cover it because I don't feel like anybody else is.
Yeah, that's true, man. There's just a bunch of narrative parroting going on right now. And the most concerning thing, and I heard you guys talking about it, is this kind of build up to war with Iran. And that's become very apparent. That is looking like, you know, the next step in the U.S. war machine. Now, let's not forget, you know, Wesley Clark, I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with the video where he talked about how there was a plan for the U.S. to go knocking over seven different countries. And, of course, Iran was like the last one on the list. And we've gotten pretty much most of them. Syria was supposed to be on there, but, you know, that didn't exactly work out how they had planned. But, you know, Iran is going to be apparently next on the list, man. And that is very, very concerning. Iran is not Iraq. It's a much different situation, and this would really be, I mean, if these guys successfully pulled it off and if the public allowed them to do it, I really don't know if that could happen, but if it did, you know, this is the end of the U.S. empire from what I can see. You know, fighting Iran, it would be just the most expensive thing that we've ever done, and a lot of people would end up dying.
I think you're right about that. I want to throw something in there real quick when it comes to Iran. First off, you know, talking about Wesley Clark and not only what Wesley Clark said, but all the propaganda through the years, it's almost like they positioned them as the king on the chessboard. Like, that's the final piece we have to get in the chessboard that is the Middle East. And we've heard it over and over and over for years. And especially the way Trump is and with his personality, and, you know, he gets stuff done, as we see. He said he was going to start doing this stuff, and he's doing it. And I feel like because it's always been this thing with Iran. We've always heard about Iran. Now he's in the Oval Office, and he's got all these people that's been in all these administrations through the years that have been wanting to get Iran. Well, now he's there, and he's hearing this, and he's going, they couldn't do it, but I can. I'll do it. I'll get it done just because they couldn't.
It's going to be incredibly tough. I mean, it's going to be incredibly tough.
And it feels like that would push him into war with Iran just based on how his personality. They couldn't get this. They couldn't get it done, but I will. And I feel like that could expedite war with Iran, which is something that we do not need to happen. And then, of course, you well know, Nick, the implications of it's not necessarily just the war with Iran. It's what's coming behind Iran. Who's going to back them up in war? China's already said they're going to do that. That's it. Like, you get into war with them. And China's even said, if we get into World War III over this, so be it. That's where it would take us. Is that what people really want?
Yeah, dude, that's the thing that people aren't understanding. You can't just go around knocking over the Iranian government, dude. They're like I said, it's much, much bigger of a deal than Iraq or Libya or any of these little countries that we went and it was like they had no allies and we just went over there and knocked them out real quick. And then we still couldn't even win those wars. I mean, I don't think we've won Iraq. We didn't win that. I mean, the insurgency is still there. ISIS is there. The government that's in place is extremely corrupt. I mean, the government that's there in Iraq they're so bad. They're so biased against the Sunni Muslims. That's why ISIS was able to sweep into power and take out Mosul so quickly. That's a huge city with had a huge military presence. And those guys just went off running because they had lost the hearts and minds of the Sunnis. And, you know, Saddam's government was very, very weak. I mean, the guy, Saddam, was delusional. He thought that his military was strong. It was really weak. We knocked him over real easy, but we still haven't won that war. We still haven't won it. To think that we're going to go over there and beat Iran, even excluding the fact that they have an ally in China and an ally in Russia, we wouldn't even be able to beat Iran on its own. That's just not the way it works anymore. The insurgency would get us. It would bleed us to death over years and years and years, like exactly what's going on right now in the other countries that we're trying to occupy. You know, these wars are impossible to win unless you actually win the hearts and minds. And, you know, we talked about this on Monday with – I had Justin King on the show, and he was talking about how Russia is dealing with the Syrian war and how Russia is actually going about it in the correct way, where the Russians are kind of supporting a Muslim kind of army and the Muslims are the ones winning all the battles. And so then it's not like it's almost impossible for ISIS to build up a jihad against the Russians, because it's like this, it's the Muslim Syrian government that is fighting them and winning the battles. It's not Russia doing it. So they can't attract foreign fighters from all over the world saying, oh, we got to fight these crusading Russians. They can't really do that because they're not really fighting the Russians. They're fighting the Syrian government, which is a Muslim government. So we don't go about these wars in the right way to actually win them. We go about them in a way that makes them perpetual.
But you think that's intentional, though, honestly? I mean, look at what we've seen in Afghanistan. There hasn't been any intention of the United States leaving that. How many times did Barack Obama say we were going to leave, especially leading up to 2012? Trust us, we'll be out in 14 months, 9 months, whatever numbers they were thrown at the time. We're still there.
Afghanistan is now the longest war that the United States has ever been in. And it's, if you look at the most recent stuff going on, I mean, the Taliban is taking back territory and stuff. And now they're talking about, well, maybe we may have to cut a deal with the Taliban and make them part of our alliance to fight against the really bad terrorists over there and stuff. Now, Trump is talking about sending more troops back into Afghanistan. So, you know, again, these are wars that, and of all of them, you know, Afghanistan is the one that is actually the one that is like, maybe there was a cause to go in there and go and fight. Iraq was a complete, you know, we never should have been in Iraq. Afghanistan is one that maybe we should have done that because of, you know, retaliation and all that stuff. But it, that's,
I no disagree with that. Drag
on. For how long has it been now? Like 16 years at this point, dragging it on and on and on. I mean, eventually wars are supposed to end. You're supposed to go in, you fight, you win or you lose, and it ends. You don't make it perpetual. And that's a huge problem, dude. And it costs us so much money, and so many guys are getting injured or killed, or you know, harmed in some way. And the people over there are so tired of the occupation. And to think that the U.S. is going to go duplicate that in Iran is just the dumbest thing I've ever heard. So
it's not going to happen. It's just not.
I hope to God that it doesn't, because if it does, we're in for a really rough time. And I think the people at this point, especially with how unpopular Trump is and the opposition that we've seen, even to some of these more minuscule policies like this immigration restriction to several of these countries, which really wasn't affecting a huge number of people. And, you know, there's a huge opposition to that. I think that there would be a major, major anti-war movement if Trump really started getting real about going in and starting a fight with Iran. So I'm hopeful in that aspect. Now, maybe the opposition is hypocritical, because sure, Obama was getting away with bombing like 8 to 10 different countries and nobody really said anything about it, from the left anyway. So maybe the opposition is hypocritical, and maybe Hillary Clinton doing it, nobody would really protest. But maybe it's a good thing that it's that we have Trump and that he's the one that's going to try to do this with Iran, because now we have an anti-war movement again, you know. So maybe that's the bright side of this you know, thing.
I do agree with that. I mean, I do see that, you know, if we get to a point where we need, because right now there's all these protests in the street, and I still don't see, outside of some of the travel ban stuff, which I still think that was even convoluted on both sides. But, you know, a lot of the protests, I just haven't seen what people are trying to achieve with them. If we got to that point, then it would be like, all right, everybody go out, hit the streets. Now it's time. And then I think real impact and change could be made. And all these people that are mobilizing right now, it would be so beneficial for if that time came, because that is when you would need people in the streets for sure. So I agree with you there, Nick. I don't think we would, you know, I know for a fact, if Hillary Clinton would have won, we would not have seen any opposition to her going to war with Russia, which would have happened.
Or Iran, for that matter.
Oh, quite possibly. But where we go from here,
if Clinton would have won and she would have provoked this war with Russia, you know, Iran, going back to the alliances, you know, Iran and Russia are close partners. So the whole Iran deal that Obama set up that was supposed to prevent war and all that, that would go right out the window if, you know, Hillary were in office and she started up some shit with Russia in Syria. Not only that, but Iran's closest ally, even closer than Russia, is actually Syria. So, you know, no fly zone in Syria. I mean, that was a recipe for disaster.
Oh, yeah, that was openly saying we want World War III. That's every time I heard her say that, that's all I heard. Let's just go ahead and go to war with Russia now. And there was even a general speaking in front of Congress when, you know, there was some Republican congressman, forgive me for not remembering his name, that was talking all big, all right, now tell us why we can't do this no-fly zone, because that's, you know, that's what we do. Why can't we do this? And the general's like, look, if you implement a no-fly zone over there, you're saying we shoot down a Russian plane. Guess what? You're openly declaring war on Russia that minute. And the congressman just kind of got this look on his face and was like, all right, never mind. Like, that's what that no-fly zone would have done.
He was, like, baffled, like, oh, shit. So we can't just go around knocking over governments anymore. He was like, damn, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you lose your footing, man. That's what happened. You know, the United States overplayed its hand in the Middle East. It lost its footing. people have countries have turned to find allies in other places, and we've kind of lost our credibility over there because we've done, you know, it's become patently obvious what we're doing around the world. No one respects it anymore because we're not out fighting for, you know, democracy and rights and shit. I mean, look at who we're supporting: Israel and Saudi Arabia. Those are our two closest allies in that region. Those are, people are horrible on rights and human, you know, human rights and freedom and, you know, minority rights, and just generally speaking, they treat people like shit. The world is now privy to what we're doing, and it's not doing good. We're not doing good stuff. We're doing geopolitical, you know, power plays to secure resources or to secure, you know, corporate, you know, imperialism and stuff like that. And so no one is respecting us anymore. And they've turned
the past
in different places. I mean, even Egypt is now getting cozy with the Russians, and people who we thought were our allies for a long time. They took our money. They took our military aid. They took our stuff for a long time. Now they're turning away from us. Pakistan is getting closer with China. You know, we're dealing with a lot of headwinds right now because we've been in that region for so long and we haven't accomplished many goals. We haven't really done anything that we were supposed to do or that we set out to do or that we claimed we were going to do. And everything is just kind of floundering around over there. We're just occupying the place perpetually, fighting insurgent, you know, guerrilla warfare with, you know, conventional forces. You got guys over there rolling around in armored vehicles and tanks and you know military guys walking down the streets fighting against guerrilla war, you know, guerrilla units. It doesn't make any sense what we're doing over there right now, and it's just taking a major toll on our guys too. Our guys in the military are getting, you know, ground down, and their morale is like really low. And they're kind of, their hearts maybe aren't so much in the fight anymore. So, you know, we're fighting a losing battle over there, dude. And for Trump to go around thinking like he's going to go expand that, it's just, they're living in a dream. And unfortunately, this dream could have major repercussions for all of us taxpayers and people of the fighting age who may wind up having to go over there and deal with the repercussions of these idiots that are constantly, regardless of party, regardless of whether it's a Democrat or Republican or Trump, or whether it would have been Bernie Sanders. I mean, same basic scenario would be playing out right now, I think. And, you know, it's just more and more of the same. And unfortunately, as people play into this two-party bullshit, I mean, most of the people that voted for Trump, he can do no wrong. Everything that he's done, I mean, he just literally killed an 8-year-old American girl in Yemen the
other day.
Did you
know there was a newborn baby? There was a newborn boy there as well? And just because it was he didn't have the same last name as Nora Alalaki was her name, 8-year-old girl. And she was, I believe she was a U.S. citizen. I know her brother was a U.S. citizen and her dad was a U.S. citizen.
Yeah, she was a U.S. citizen.
And, there was a newborn in there as well that was killed.
And for his supporters, it's like he can do no wrong.
And so you're getting, and the reason why, I'm going to tell you the reason why because everything Trump's done so far has just been, oh, everything you do is bad. They're talking about Howard Stern talking bad about Trump on CNN right now. Who cares? The reason they have not attacked Trump on that raid in Yemen is because guess what? It was signed off by the Obama administration before it happened. So they're not going to bring it up, because that would reflect badly on Democrats, so they're just going to keep quiet about it. And that's the problem. People need to get over this stupid two-party system and decide, okay, if a Democrat does it, then it's right, or if a Republican does it, then it's right. Look, right and wrong is right and wrong. It doesn't matter which party is in charge of when it happens, period. And people need to get past this. And the reason you were talking, Nick, that the Middle East and every, you know, we kind of overstayed our welcome. I think what's really happened is the past has expired, and the past that the United States had to do all this stuff was 9/11. And whatever amount of time that the United States had to go around doing whatever it wanted in the Middle East, it's over. I knew it was over the night in one of the Republican debates, and Chris Christie brought up 9/11. And they cut to Rand Paul, and he just gave him the biggest eye roll ever, mentioning 9/11. If there would have been any politician, Democrat or Republican, to eye roll when somebody mentioned 9/11 in 2012 even, that would have been the end of his political career. It would have been over. And especially before then, how dare you eye roll bring up 9/11? But it's just become this cliche excuse to do anything. I mean, even Trump brought it up when he was talking about his travel ban that doesn't affect anything that had to do with 9/11. You know, and they still wheel it out like it gives them a pass and a right to do whatever they want. And people aren't buying it anymore. I think most people realize that a lot of that we were told was a lie. We know that the Saudis had extreme involvement in what happened, and you've got the Bushes palling around with them. You've got Obama taking their money. You've got Obama giving them $115 billion worth of weapons to go massacre a bunch of people in Yemen. So I think the world, even American citizens, are awake to some degree to that, and I think that the whole 9/11, that can't be used anymore. And because of that, people are tired of the United States going around going, but terrorists, but terrorists, but terrorists.
It's unbelievable, dude. And yeah. This bullshit two-party thing got us into a gridlock. And it's not even left and right, because both of those parties aren't to the left or to the right. They're just neocons and on foreign policy, and they're neoliberals on economics. You know, there's no left and right. They are what they are. That's all they are. They're part of the empire. I don't know if it's a right-wing empire or left-wing empire, but it's just a big empire. And so this whole, like, oh, my team wants, you know, my team's in power now. My team can do what it wants. And when my team kills people, it's good. And my team gets to do what it wants, and it's okay. But when the other team does it, oh, my God, that's a huge problem. Like, that's the big problem, dude, is that people are not standing with principles here. They're standing with parties. And so we're basically, until we can break through that and shatter these two parties into pieces, we're going to be pretty much condemned to this paradigm for the foreseeable future.
People talk about life and death, whether we're talking about whether it's justices within, you know, a police department. And look, there's good cops out there. There's bad cops out there. There's stuff the United States does good in foreign policy. There's stuff they do that's just absolutely atrocious. But because of the two-party system, we view life and death through this like we're watching a football game. And if it's your team and the guy's offside, you're like, no, he wasn't. He wasn't offside. Are you kidding me? And if it's the other team, you're like, how did you see that? I can't believe they didn't call him offsides. And and that's how they view, like, people getting killed. And it's just this, like, it's okay if you're watching football, but it's not okay when you're talking about people dying. But unfortunately, people buy into that, it's my team. It's my team. And people, look, I don't even know how much people have bought into we're Americans, maybe, but it almost feels like they're more attached to I'm a Republican American or I'm a Democrat American. Now, of course, that's not the whole country, because we just saw 50% of the country not vote in the wildest, craziest election in the history of the United States. So it's not the whole country, but it's a lot of people, that's for sure. Well, Shane, you've been quiet. What you got to say over any of this?
I think the problem is that the only people with a platform to voice their or to air their grievances are the left, you know, going back to this left-right paradigm, the Republicans and the Democrats. They're the only ones with a platform to speak. And so therefore we're given this assumption that everybody falls within these two categories, whether half the country is supposedly Democrats and half the country is supposedly Republican. Now, even among registered voters, like you said, half the people in this country don't even bother voting every election. That's pretty much how it goes every election. But even the registered voters, 40% of them are actually independents. Where is their voice? Why don't I see independent people in the presidential debates? Why don't I see independents being given a voice in the media?
Money. That's the answer to that.
Absolutely. Money.
I mean, you saw
no two ways around it.
That's one thing I think Bernie Sanders and Ron Paul both should, and even Trump to a degree, should have taught people that if you want your voice to be heard in an election, you have to pick a side. Because Ron Paul would have never started the movement that he started if he wouldn't have gone to either be a Democrat or Republican. He had to pick one. And ran as a Republican. And Bernie Sanders, if he would have ran as an independent, guess what would have never happened? Anything that just happened over the past election. And
nobody would have felt the burn. Well, nobody. There have been a few people, I'm sure, but not as many as
nobody
there was.
Nobody even known about the burn. You know what I mean?
Right. And he had to run as a Democrat. And Trump even. I still don't necessarily consider Trump a Republican. I don't know what he is. He's just Donald Trump, whatever that means. And even with all his money, you have to pick a side. And look, if Bloomberg decided to run, he couldn't just get up and run as an independent either. We're talking he would have to run as a Democrat. Like, that's how this works. You have to have that exposure. You have to have that money because it's so ingrained in people's psyche. The propaganda has taken such a hold on people that if you don't have that stamp, that validation, it's like if you're on Twitter and they're not verified, well, I don't care what you have to say. You don't have a little check by your name. And that's how elections run in this country. If you aren't been approved by the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, people just laugh and be like, you're not a real candidate. And that's not the way this should work, but it's the way it does work.
Yeah, dude. And the media reinforces all that stuff, and it pretends everyone's a Democrat or Republican. And you know what? That's what I think is our niche with the anti-media, is that we are a non-partisan or an anti-partisan voice of reason in the wilderness for these people that are independent thinkers or political independents that will criticize both parties equally and, you know, stand up and cover stuff based on principles rather than on parties. I don't give a shit. How many times did we cover Obama's horrible foreign policy? How many times did we
I covered it nonstop.
Single radio show, every single day on the website, we're criticizing Obama's horrendous foreign policy that was very similar to Bush's. Every day. But if you go on Washington Post, I can't recall one major time where they actually called Obama out on his foreign policy. I really can't.
Go ahead. I'm going to pull something up. Finish what you were saying.
So, yeah, man, I hope we can be a voice for the independents and the people who are not falling within these two parties. And hopefully our new website, our website rebuild can become something of a major influencer from this perspective, because the majority of people in this country are not Republicans and they are not Democrats. They're not. The majority are not, but they just don't have a voice. And that's why people are so fed up with all this shit. That's why people don't bother even voting, because they know that it's pretty much pointless, because it's going to be a Republican or a Democrat anyway. Hopefully our new site, which is going to be out next Friday, and I hope everybody listening tonight is going to use it, participate in it. I mean, this is going to be probably one of the most interactive news websites on the internet, especially for sure in independent media. I mean, this website is going to give everybody a voice, and you'll see what we mean when we release it. But it's hopefully going to be a hub for people to find their news. And then also it can get people off of Facebook. I mean, Facebook, you can go back to sharing pictures of kittens and shit again. I mean, our website is going to be a type of like social network, a type of like homepage of independent media where you can go there and find the news. You don't have to go on Facebook and deal with all of their censorship and their algorithms and their burying of major important stories. You can go to our website and find all the news and share it with your friends. So, you know, anyway, SM, what were you saying, dude? I know you were pulling something up.
Okay. this just really stuck in my craw, so I have to bring it up. I don't know if either one of y'all know who Steve Kerr is. He played for the Chicago Bulls back in the day. Either way, he's the head coach of the Golden State Warriors. The reason I'm mentioning this is because it has 7,000 retweets. He posted this yesterday on Twitter. It has 7,000 retweets and over 26,000 likes. All it says was, is I subscribe to the Washington Post today because facts matter. The Washington Post because facts matter. That's what's wrong with this country. This organization literally said, or it's really heavily insinuated, that Russia poisoned Hillary Clinton when she collapsed. And you're saying that's what's wrong. People buy into this establishment. And that's what they're trying to do on Facebook. They want to shut pages like anti-media down. They want to suppress the people that come to these pages. And that's part of why we're doing this new website, so you can come directly to the website and ignore what the establishment and corporate media want you to see. And trust me, let me tell you something. Google and Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook are all in bed with what's happening with corporate media.
We're cutting out Google, we're cutting out Facebook, we're cutting out Reddit, we're cutting out Drudge Report, we're cutting out Huffington Post. Anti-media is going to be the new home base for any independent thinker. I'm telling you right now, that's what it's going to be. And we need everybody's help. We need everyone to go. It's going to be out next Friday. We need everyone to sign up. We need everyone to vote in our system. Our system has our new website has a voting system built into it so that we can know what stories are important to people. Our new website is going to have a feature where you guys can post articles that you think are important, and you can post articles and they'll be on the front page of the anti-media.
Wow.
So that is going to be something really big, really important. I mean, we're going to be the Drudge Report for independent thinkers. I mean, Drudge is like so deep up Donald Trump's ass right now that I can't tell where Matt Drudge begins and Donald Trump ends. I really can't.
Well, I think it's going to be way different than Drudge only because I think we're encouraging open discussion and we're giving people an open forum to share their thoughts and ideas on the news and what's happening in the world around them and what stories are important to them. And the thing about media is because there's so much and me and you, we see so much every day. And, there's no telling how much we actually miss in going through everything that that we do see. And this way, people are going to be, because you know how many stories we see that people send us that we're not able to cover. And this is going to cut that out because there's only so many hours in the day. That's going to stop that. When there's a story that's important to somebody, they're going to go ahead and be able to put it right up on the front page of the anti-media and be able to get that story up. That is important. And this is going to be the people's media. This is going to be the voice of the people. And we're going to cut out – look, the corporations, it's over. It's dead. It's done. They may have all the money, but you have a voice. You are able to speak up, and it's finally time. And we win by being educated, okay? We don't win by parading around in stupid hats on the street for no reason. When you're educated, then you know, okay, now's the time to mobilize. Now's the time to speak up. Now's the time to make a difference. We have to all be educated. We can't buy into this two-party system. We've got to get away from the propaganda. We can't applaud people for subscribing to the Washington Post. All right, we've only got a minute left. Nick, you got any final words? Shannon, any final words?
Man, it's one thing to be pissed off. It's another thing to be pissed off and know that there's something that we can do about it.
That's
all I got.
Shannon.
Stay the hell away from the Washington Post, please. Gosh.
Seriously, man. Seriously. Washington Post is horrible.
It's the worst. It's the worst. I have more trust in the National Enquirer at this point than I do the Washington Post, and that is the truth. That's it for us. For Nick Burnaby, for Shannon Madden, I'm S.M. Gibson. We'll be back next week. Anti-Media Radio. Out.
Yo, here we go. Go through the stereo.